Well, holding on, Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph, the second line. And we learned in the Mishnah one of the differences between Dine Mamonos and Dine Nefashos. We said Dine Mamonos Machzirin Chula, that Dine Mamonos, we can always reverse the decision, whether it was L'Schus or L'Choiva, whereas with Dine Nefashos, only if we said L'Choiva and then we realize we have reason to say L'Schus, then we can undo it, but not the other way around. So let's talk about this matter of reversing a judgment in Dine Mamonos. Keeping in mind, Dine Mamonos, it's one thing, for example, if we're talking about whether Reuven owes Shimon money, for example, but it's another thing if it's another thing, for example, so there you could say that either way, I mean, if you're reversing it and saying, for example, that Reuven does owe the money after all, it's a detriment to Reuven, but it's a benefit to Shimon. But you can also have, whether it's Dine Mamonos, for example, where it also includes questions on Treifas, as the Gemara is going to give an example soon, where if you return it L'Choiva, you return it L'Choiva or L'Schus, we're dealing with only one person over here, not two, and nevertheless we're saying, because not Dine Nefashos, then you could. In any case, the point is, we're saying that we do reverse the case, meaning, in other words, so if the Dayanim had said mistakenly, let's say that Reuven owes Shimon the money, then we're going to reverse it, and we're going to instead take the money from Shimon and give it back to Reuven, let's say. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "Iruminhu." I have a contradiction because we learn a Mishnah, Donas Adin. It's a Mishnah in Bechoros. Donas Adin. If a dayan judges a three dayanim, that is whatever, judge a case, zikas achayev chiyev esazakai, and they declared exempt someone who's actually liable to pay, or the other way around, they declared liable somebody who should be exempt from paying. Timi as a tahor, tir as a tame, or he declared something tame which should have been considered tahor, or vice versa. Masha also. Even the Mishnah says whatever is done, meaning we don't reverse the din. V'yishalim midbeisa, however, the dayan has to pay out of pocket for the mistake. So we see that you don't reverse it. Reversing would mean, in other words, that we would say, you know what, I said that this was tamei, but that's a mistake. It's actually toher. Go ahead and eat it or whatever it is. But here we're saying that no, either way, masha also, and he just has to pay. So how does that square? So how does that square with our Mishnah? Tosfos discusses that if tihur es hatameh, what do you mean? What do you mean, Masha also? The fact is, this is tameh. How could we say that because the dayan declared it tahor, then it's tahor? So Tosfos discusses. Now, later on, at the end of the sugya, we're going to talk about that it may be that it was mixed together with other fruit, and therefore the question is now, what's the status of that other fruit? Whether, for example, whether now it's bottle or not, or whether we say that all of it is now tameh. So Masha also, he would mean, for example, that so he declared this fruit that was mistakenly, that was actually Tomei, the Dayan declared mistakenly Tahar, the guy who he gave the psak din to, then went and mixed that Tomei produce with 60 times as much or more of Tahar produce, or depending whether it's Truma 100 times, whatever, and therefore it is bottle, and therefore we say Masha also. Anyway, the point is that we see from that Mishnah that we don't reverse the verdict. We just make the dayan pay for his mistake. Amar Rabbi Yosef, loy kasha, kan b'mumcha, kan b'she'eni mumcha. It depends whether you're talking about a dayan mumcha, an expert, which we talked about in the first perek, that he's received smicha, the smicha ish mipiyesh, he's been given permission by the Resh Goloso or the Nasi or whatever. So then when he says that he made, then when he said, when he says he made a mistake, then fine, we can accept that what he said, that what he did was a mistake. Meaning, in other words, that we can say that now the point of the question is also that we're not going to say that the Mishnah over here is talking about before they actually executed the psak din, and the Mishnah over there is talking about afterwards, because in our Mishnah apparently, since we're also mentioning the case later on, we mentioned the case in Dine Mamonos where they actually decide where they actually where we said that they decided in favor or against the guy, so the psak has already taken place, and nevertheless the Mishnah is saying that we undo it. Anyway, but and the fact is, I mean, even with Dine, the fact is that with Dine Mamonos versus Dine Nefashos, which is the whole point of our Mishnah, we see that even when it comes to Dine Mamonos, apparently when we say machzirim l'choiva, The distinction would be not so much between the distinction would be within dinim mamonos themselves. Did we already execute the psak din or not? The fact that the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction implies that even if we already executed it, we can still undo it. So here, for the first answer, then Rabbi Yosef is saying is that is saying mumcha versus einin mumcha. So where a mumcha has made a mistake, then we say we can accept that he that when he says now I made a mistake, then we know he knows what he's talking about. As opposed to Kan, the Mishnah in Bechorus is talking about b'she'enim mumcha, that the dayan is not a mumcha. So therefore, the one who lost can say, well, wait a minute, you're telling me now you made a mistake. The one who won is going to say, well, wait a minute, now you're telling me you made a mistake and really I lost. How do I know, in fact, that that's you're not a mumcha yourself? Maybe the second, maybe your first psak was correct after all, and now you're mistaken in thinking that it would be the other way around. So I shouldn't have to pay. So that would be when we say that the dayan himself has to reimburse. So that's one way of explaining it. Tosfos discusses over here, the Gemara is further on, I'm going to talk about over here different kinds of mistakes. So we're talking about over here where he made a mistake in what the Gemara is going to call soon shikul hadas, where it's a mistake in the halakhic logic rather than that he forgot a particular source that he should have paid attention to. Anyway. So that's what so that's an answer. So the Gemara asked, "Well, mumcha machzirin." So you're telling me that when he's a mumcha, then we do in fact undo the din Torah and then start all over again. V'hokatani, the Mishnah continues there. That Mishnah in Bechoris continues. Im hayam mumcha lebeistin. If he was a mumcha of beistin, he had received smicha and he's been given permission to judge such cases. Potter milashalem. Then he's potter from paying. So we see that in that case we don't undo the we see in that case that he is potter from paying. So therefore, so obviously when the Mishnah is saying masha osa osvi v'shalom mebeisay, has to mean where he's has to mean where he's not a mumcha, but we're saying that even then, so fine, we're saying that it's not a mumcha, like Rabbi Yosef said, but the point is, even so, we say potter milshalem, meaning that we don't undo the case. If we undo the case, of course he's not paying, then we just start all over again. If we say that he's potter to, if we say that he's potter from paying, Rashi actually explains the reason, what's the logic, why the reason he's going to be potter from paying is because since he's a mumcha, then it must be, it's a bad mazel of the guy who lost the case. It's true that it was it shouldn't have been that way on the face of it, but the fact is that the fact that he's a mumcha means that generally he's going to get everything 100% right. If this time somehow he punk made a mistake, then we have to say it's min hashamayim. So therefore we're not going to make him pay. But the point is, obviously, therefore, what's done is done. Otherwise, what's the point of saying whether he's chayav to pay or potter from paying? Either way, we're undoing the din Torah. We're starting all over again. So we can't reconcile the two Mishnayos that way. Amar Rav Nachman, kan sheyesh gadol hemena b'chochma v'minyan, kan she'ein gadol hemena b'chochma v'minyan. So Rav Nachman says, you know how you can draw a distinction is our Mishnah is talking about there is somebody greater than the first dayan in chochma and in minyan. Minyan can mean age. Minyan can mean the number of other chachamim agree with him. So what happens is Reb Reuven has decided that has decided the case a certain way, but there isn't any. He has smicha, he has a mumcha l'rabim and all that. Nonetheless, in town there is another there's another dayan who's there's another dayan Reb Shimon who's greater than him b'chochma over minyan, and Reb Shimon tells him, you know what, you were making a mistake, and really the din should be the other way around. Then we start all over again. Then we undo the first psak din and we start all over. So then there's no paying because we just start all over. Can Shane Godom Hemena Bachma of Minyan, as opposed to in Bachoris, we're talking about there's nobody greater in Chochma and in Minyan, so therefore, so there's nobody to override him. Nonetheless, once we realize he made a mistake, then we have to we can't reverse the judgment because there isn't anybody to say that it should be reversed, but nevertheless, he still has to reimburse him. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Rav Sheshes Amar. Rav Sheshes gives a different explanation. And by the way, Mefarshim point out, Rav Nachman is not necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef's explanation. Rav Nachman is coming to answer the question. Rabbi Yosef had drawn a distinction between Mumcha or Shein and Mumcha, and we said, how does that fit with the Mishnah and Bechoris over there? So Rav Nachman is inferring that and saying, even within Mumcha itself, you can distinguish between whether there's somebody more, whether there's somebody greater than him in town or not. Rav Sheshes Amar. Rav Sheshes gives a different answer. Kan shata b'dvar mishnah, kan shata b'shikul hadas. There would be a difference between what kind of mistake did the Dayan make, whether he made a mistake in a dvar mishnah. So Rashi points out that the difference is if gadol haymenu, then, in other words, that gadol, that greater person, has the koyach to be mevatel it. When there's no gadol haymenu, what's going to happen is that the dayan himself, the first dayan, is going to say, you know, I made a mistake. The baal din is going to say, again, well, who says? You may be a mumcha, but the fact is, you first paskin in my favor. What gives you the right now to say that you made a mistake and you should have to make me pay after all? So the Baal Din himself is not really going to listen, which is why we say that the judgment stands and just the Dayan has to pay. So Rav Sheshes Amar, Kan Shatar B'Dvar Mishnah, Kan Shatar B'Shikul Adas. Rav Sheshes makes a distinction between whether he made a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah versus Shikul Adas. Dvar Mishnah means, in other words, that he made a mistake. He forgot something that it says in a Mishnah or a Braisa or whatever, as we're gonna explain soon what Dvar Mishnah means for this purpose. It's not very common for him to make such a mistake. It's a blatant mistake because there's a Mishnah against him. So therefore, then we say that the din is not a din at all, and we have to start all over. As opposed to Kan Shatar B'Shikul Adas, as opposed to when he made a mistake, as far as logic, where it doesn't explicitly say one way or the other, so then we're going to say that we don't require him to undo. Then we say we're not going to undo the din terda, because after all, there is a reason. There is a svara to say that what he said first was correct. But then, since it turns out that it was a mistake, after all, that he's going to have to pay out of pocket, as we're going to explain soon what dvar mishnah versus shikul adas means. And we know that, and we can clarify that, Do'omer of Sheshes, Omer of Asi, as in fact, Rav Sheshes explains in the name of Rav Asi, Tov B'Dvar Mishnah Choyzer, if he makes a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, then the judgment is undone, and we start all over. Tov B'Shikul Adas, Ein Choyzer, but if he makes a mistake in Shikul Adas, in logic, then he doesn't go back, however, then he may have to reimburse. So let's clarify what we mean by Dvar Mishnah in that connection. Obviously, if it means he missed out on actual Mishnah that says the opposite of what he says is one thing. But Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Afilo Ta B'Rabchia V'Raboshia, does that include even when we say Dvar Mishnah? Does it mean even if he missed out of a Braisa from the Tesefta that Rabchia and Raboshia put together? Now, the Braises are not quite as authoritative as the Mishnayos. Nevertheless, because Rashi points out an interesting point. The reason why the Mishnayos have such authority over anyone else, over anything else, is because Rebbe was greater than Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, and because he was the Nasi, all the other Chachamim were with him. So Mishnayos, in other words, represent not just that it's a nice collection of all the halachas, but everything in the Mishnayos was agreed to by all the Chachmei Hadur, was agreed to by all the Chachamim of that time, because Rebbe, being the Nasi, they were always present by him. That's why the Mishnah has greater authority over the Tesefta. So now Ravina is asking Ravashi, what about then when we say Tobit Va Mishnah Choyzer? On the side over here, Goyse Bach says, actually, the question is Rav Nuna asking Rav Sheshes. Whatever. Anyway, the point is that does that rule of Tobit Va Mishnah apply to anything that's been set down as an official collection of halachas, including, for example, even Tesefta's? Amalein, and Rav Ashi, or Rav Sheshes, answers yes. He asked him, Afilu b'dirav u'shmuel, would the same thing apply even if the Dayan missed out something and is contradicting something that Rav and Shmuel said? Now, Rav and Shmuel, I'm not necessarily saying something. Now, Rav and Shmuel, Rav, okay, sometimes considered a Tana, Shmuel not. But nonetheless, when they're saying something, it's their own svara. Sometimes we can find a basis for it. Sometimes we can find the basis for it in what we come in, what we find earlier. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's their own Svara and Torah. Would we say the same thing that if the Dayan ends up having contradicted them, that we should also say it's Tal B'Dvar Mishnah, and we would say that he has to undo the Psak Din and start all over again? Amalei Ein, and Ravashi says yes. That would be the case even when we're talking about Rav and Shmuel. So then Ravina says, what about a Afilu B'Di V'Di Doch? What about if the Dayan misses out something that you or I have said, we of our contemporary generation, would the same thing apply? And after all, I mean, you know, the point of the question is, Amoraim are allowed to argue on one another. Nonetheless, would we say that if Ravina or Rav Ashi gave out a psak din, then that's how it is. It's a fixed matter, and nobody, and if anybody disagrees with it would be considered Tal B'Dvar Mishnah. Omale, sort of Ashi answers, you know, Otu Anan Katli Kani Ba'agma Anan. Do you think that we're just people who are cutting reeds in the meadows? In other words, like simple poshita people. No, we're also Amiroyim, we're also great Amiroyim. So therefore, as far as that's concerned, we're on no less of a level than Rav and Shmuel. And yes, so when you have something, let's say that we're talking about Derech Maso Mata, and that we're talking about in the course of the discussion, then yeah, what we're saying is not the final word. But if we're saying, even we, the last generation of Amiroyim, says Rav Ashi, if we are saying a certain Psak Din, then that's how it is. And later on, once it gets established that that's how it is, and the Chachmei Hador have agreed with it, then yes, if later on another Dayan goes and judges and says differently than what we do, then yes, that would be considered Tal B'Dvar Mishnah. So in other words, applying that to later generations of Jewish history, if a Dayan, for example, is judging a case and he contradicts something that it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, which the Nois HaKelim don't disagree with, then that would be an example of Tal B'Dvar Mishnah. Okay, so then heichidami shikul adas. Well, then what's the definition of shikul adas? If we're saying that, so now that we've established, in other words, that it doesn't actually have to be written down in order for it to be considered Dvar Mishnah, the Mishnayos themselves, Bechlal, there's a discussion whether in the times of the Amiroyim the Mishnayos were written down yet. But certainly, for example, what Ravina and Rav Ashi are saying wasn't written down yet. They were the ones who were composing the Gemara as we have it, but it hadn't been written down yet in full. So if all of those are considered Dvar Mishnah, then what's considered Shikul Adas, where we said, according to Rav Sheshes' answer, that if the Dayan made a mistake in that, then we wouldn't undo the Psak Din, however, we'd make him reimburse. So what is Shikul Adas? So Amar Papa, going Tre Tanoya Tre Amiroi. Suppose, for example, you have two Tanoyim or two Amiroyim, the Pligi Adodi, who are arguing on one another. The halacha has not been explicitly decided like one or the other. The ikri, the ovid gechad minai, who now the dayan goes and ends up paskining according to one of them. The sugya, the shmaita azli ki'idach. However, the way that it goes as far the mahalach and learning that most other dayanim have prefer the second way. Sugya, we always use the word sugya to mean a discussion in the Gemara. The literal meaning of the word sugya is the going, the mahalach, the gang, like we would say in Yiddish, the way that most people go. So we would say that the sugyan de shmaita, sugyan de amar, Rashi says most dayanim prefer the second opinion. But here you have this dayan follow the first opinion. Hainu shikul adas, that would be an example of tal b'shikul adas. The Rambam phrases it a little more clearly. He says that the minag in the entire world is like the other one. The Yad Ramah actually explains differently that it can mean that the sugya of the Gemara follows that one, meaning in other words, sometimes actually we do that. Sometimes we have. How do the Rishonim paskin halacha like one opinion or the other in the Gemara? Sometimes we have rules. We have, for example, rules that we learned in the previous perek about when the halacha is and isn't like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel against the Chachamim. We have other rules like that scattered throughout Shas. Sometimes we don't have clearly a rule that's going to tell us one way or the other. One of the rules that the Rishonim actually use is based on the Yad Ramah's explanation of Sugya de Shmaita or Sugya de Alma, meaning, in other words, that when we find, if the Gemara is going to be discussed, if the Gemara has two opinions on a subject and it spends a lot of time discussing the ins and outs of one of those opinions, then that itself shows that the Chachmei Gemara considered that the halacha is like that one, and that's why they spend so much time analyzing it. So therefore, so that can be, the Yad Ramah says that would be an example of that. So you have, let's say, you have a discussion between, let's say, Ravina and Ravashi. We don't necessarily have a rule that says the halacha is like Ravashi in these cases, the halacha is like Ravina in these cases. But if we see now that the Gemara spends a lot of time analyzing Ravashi's opinion, then that would mean the halacha is like him. Whereas according to Rashi and the Rambam, it would be more along the lines of that most Dayanim seem to follow Ravashi's opinion. Which, I mean, both things could be true, of course. Either way is a valid way of determining what the general mahalach is. Anyway, so Hainu Shikul Adas, that would be one meaning of a mistaken Shikul Adas. So in other words, we can't say that he's blatantly wrong. He wasn't Toya B'dvar Mishnah. However, the fact is, most Dayanim are paskening one way. So if he comes up with a psak the other way, then we have a right to say that afterwards, if he himself realizes, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. Most poskim seem to pasken the other way. Then that would be an example of a mistake with Shikul Adas. We wouldn't undo the psak din, however, we would make him reimburse the losing party. Okay, the Gemara continues. Eisvei Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Sheshes. So Rav Hamnuna asks the following question on Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is the one who drew this distinction between Tor B'dvar Mishnah and Shikul Adas. Tosfos actually points out all of the Amoraim so far. Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman are also going to agree with that distinction between Shikul Adas and Dvar Mishnah. They're just going to say there are other distinctions as well, Mumcha. But because Rav Sheshes is the one who explicitly mentioned that distinction, then therefore Rav Hamnuna is asking on him. And again, the previous question also, Hagoyes Habach had the Girsa that was also Rav Hamnuna asking Rav Sheshes. Anyway, so Rav Hamnuna asked Rav Sheshes. We learn in another Mishnah in Bechoras, Maisa b'pora shal beis Menachem. It happened with a cow that belonged to the family of Menachem. Shenitla ha'em shalah. Its womb had been cut out. Its womb had been they had done surgery on it and removed the womb. And they came to Reb Tarfon to ask whether the animal is kosher or not. And Reb Tarfon paskin that it's not. V'hechilir, Reb Tarfon leklovim, and Reb Tarfon made them feed it to dogs. In other words, he said it's treif, and therefore they had, and they, what are they going to do with the meat of a treif animal? So they wound up giving it to the dogs. Uvom maisa lifnei chachamim b'yavna. However, the case came to the chachamim in Yavna, v'tiruha, and they said that no, actually it would have been mutter. The fact that the womb was cut out does not make the animal treif. And they did that, Sha'omar, on the basis that Sha'omar, Agos Habach says, Mipnei Sha'omar Todus Haroife, because Todus, the doctor, it was a Yid, that was his name, he explained as follows. Ein part of a chazira yotzem Alexandria shomitzrayim, they wouldn't let a single cow or female pig out of Alexandria in Egypt, which is the capital of Egypt, elim ken choschem ha'em shalah, unless they cut out its womb first, kadesh le tailed so it doesn't give birth. In other words, because the cows and the chazerim in Mitzrayim were of a very high quality. They didn't want, the Egyptians over there did not want that people should be exporting these high quality animals to other lands and breeding them over there. So they would make sure that any female animal of those that was taken out of Mitzrayim first had to have its womb removed. And then obviously it can't have children. So then there's no problem if somebody's going to have it in another country. The point is that Todus is saying, you see, obviously these animals live for a long time after this operation is done. The definition of a treifa is that the animal is not going to live 12 months after the injury. So we see, therefore, said the Chachamim, on the basis of that, that we see that such animals must be kosher, because otherwise they die within 12 months. Meaning, in other words, they're saying, Reb Tarfon, your psak din was wrong. You said that the animal is treif. Turns out it's kosher. Omer of Tarfon, Hocha Chamorcha Tarfon. So Reb Tarfon says, there goes your donkey, Tarfon. Meaning, in other words, I'm going to have to sell my donkey in order to raise money to pay for my wrong psak din. There are a number of points that are made on that. I mean, Reb Tarfon, we find in other Gemaras, was quite rich. He doesn't literally have to sell his donkey in order to pay the guy. So the Tiferes Yisrael says he was just saying it as like a joke. So, and then there's a couple of other explanations. One interesting explanation is that that was the way they would do. We often find, you have, for example, the Mishnah, Hamachlif Pora Bachamor, you trade a cow for a donkey. So therefore, he's saying, in other words, now that I have to pay it, now that I have to trade for his cow that I mistakenly declared treif, then now I'm gonna have to trade my donkey for it because that's the usual way of doing things. A couple of other explanations. Ben Yehoyada makes a point that that what Reb Tarfon is saying is, listen, until now, I've always, and then Ben Yehoyada says, in other words, like this, Reb Tarfon is saying, you know what, from now on, I'm not like this. Usually I would ride around on a donkey. Now, Bedavka, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell my donkey in order not because I can't afford to pay using something else, but because I want this as a permanent reminder from now on when I'm walking. Instead of riding on a donkey, it should be a permanent reminder for myself that I made a mistake in this halacha and that I should be careful, that I should be more careful in the future. A related point about that also, another one of the Mefoshim makes a point that Reb Tarfon is saying, till now I was riding on a donkey and my Talmidim are walking together with me, as we often find throughout Shas, that it would be like that. The Rebbe goes on a donkey, the Talmidim walk with him. Now actually I'm gonna lower myself and I'm gonna start traveling on foot like they're doing, and rather than being a Rebbe anymore. Anyway, Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Tarfon, don't worry, potter ata, you're potter from paying. Shekol ha-mumcha l'rabim, because any dayan who's a mumcha l'rabim, who has smicha and who has permission from the and who has permission from the nasi to judge dinim, amenas, and he makes a mistake, potter m'lashalem, then it's potter for paying. So the point of Rabbi Amnuna's question is, he continues, if you're going to tell me that there's a distinction between Tor B'Dvar Mishnah and Shikul HaDas, you're going to say that when it comes to Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, then in fact we don't. Then in fact we do undo the Psak Din and we start all over again. Then why is Reb Tarfon telling him that you're Potter because you're a Mumcha LeBeis Din? Let him tell him you're Potter because Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, because you made a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, because that point that if the animal is missing its womb is kosher is a Mishnah in Masechta Chulin, V'Tor B'Dvar Mishnah Chozer. And as we just established, according to Rav Sheshes, if Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, then you undo it. So he should be telling Reb Tarfon, never mind whether you're a Mumcha LeBeis Din or not, you made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to ask soon, wait a minute, if they already gave the animal to eat to the dogs, then how could we have chozer anyhow? The fact is that the animal's already gone. Yes, Reb Tarfon should have to reimburse. So well, the Gemara will get to that point soon. The Shach, after all, the Shach points out another question anyway. I mean, Reb Tarfon is long before Rebbe. The Mishnayos weren't yet necessarily in their final, the Mishnayos weren't in their final form yet. How do we know that Mishnah in Cholin that mentions about the womb being missing, the animal's kosher, already existed in Reb Tarfon's times? Maybe on the contrary, that Mishnah was formulated based on this discussion over here. So he says, okay, maybe Rashi means that the fact is we have the Kabbalah that this existed before Rebbe's times. Okay, but then he goes on to discuss the Mishnah. The Gemara should have mentioned what Mishnah. The Gemara should have actually quoted the Mishnah that Reb Tarfon had missed out. And there's various other questions about it. So the Shach explains that actually the question is not so much from the Mishnah in Chulin, but rather from Todas HaRoife. It's a Metzius. Everybody knows that a cow without a womb is able to live. So therefore, the fact that Reb Tarfon doesn't know that, in effect, is Tor B'Dvar Mishnah. Fine, it doesn't maybe say explicitly in a Mishnah, but come on, it's something that everybody knows. Anyway, so here, so Rav Hamnuna is asking Rav Sheshes. So you're telling us that if Tor B'Dvar Mishnah Choyzer, but here we have a case of Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, and Reb Tarfon is thinking that he has to forfeit his donkey, and Reb Akiva tells him, don't worry, you're Potter M'Lashalem. Never mind Potter M'Lashalem. We should say we start the case all over again. Come back to Beis Din, and we'll rediscuss it. And based on what Todas HaRoifa is saying, and based on the Mishnah in Cholin, we'll tell you that your animal is kosher after all. The answer is Chodav Oidkam. Now, the answer is Reb Akiva, actually, when he's talking to Reb Tarfon, is making both points. He's saying there's two reasons you're potter from paying. Chodav, the Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, Atav, the Torah B'Dvar Mishnah Choyzer. Number one, your mistake was in Advar Mishnah. And that kind of thing you can undo. V'oid, e nami b'shikul adas te'isa. Second of all, even if it had been a matter of shikul adas, even if it hadn't been a clear Mishnah,
Or even if even if it hadn't been a clear Mishnah, or even if or it had been, like we said, two different Amoraim that are arguing over the point, and it hasn't been explicitly decided, the halacha is like one of them or like the other. Nevertheless, also Rabbi Akiva points out to him after a mumcha l'rab mata, you're a mumcha l'rab, and mumcha l'rab and potter l'shalem, and such a person is potter from paying even in shikul adas. So there's no contradiction on there's no contradiction on Rabbi Yosef's point about the distinction between Dvar Mishnah and Shikul Hadas. All right, the Gemara asks, Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'Rava, my kamoisiv Rav Hamnuna L'Rav Sheshes Para. What do you mean? What is Rav Hamnuna even thinking to ask a question from the case of the cow, which Rav Tarfon Para Harei Hechilu L'Klovim? The Mishnah had said that he gave it already to the dogs. The lesser, so it no longer exists. It's a hadr that we should be returning it. It's one thing if the Mishnah had said Reb Tarfon declared it treif, then you could say that Tob Dvar Mishnah Choyzer, then we would say that we can undo it and say, you know what, your cow is kosher after all. But the Mishnah says over there that Reb Tarfon actually gave it to gave it as food to the dogs, so it's already gone. So there can't be a Choyzer. So what is Rav Hamnuna even asking the question in the first place? And the answer is Hochi Kamalei. It means Rav Hamnuna is asking as follows: Iyamet b'shleima tov b'dvar mishnah eini choizer. If you're going to say that even though he made a mistake in dvar mishnah, he doesn't retract the psak din. Instead, we say that he might have to reimburse al makom dina. Meaning, in other words, we say that psak din he made stays established and we don't undo it. Well, heinu to kamafkin Rav Tarfon, then that would explain why Rav Tarfon is afraid that he might have to pay. That he might have to give up his donkey. But omit l'ka'omalei ihu, so Rabbi Akiva tells him, don't worry, mumchal beisin ata va'ata potem l'shalim. Eli i'amit, the point of Rabbi Amnon's question was as follows. If you're going to say, tobit v'am mishnah choizer, that if he makes a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, which in this case he did, then he would actually undo the Psak Din and start all over, then what, Lay Malay, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva tell Rabbi Tarfon as follows? The reason why your potter is as follows. Kiven de ilu havoi para, had the para still existed, had it not been given to the dogs to eat, dinach lav dina, your Psak Din wouldn't be anything because it's Toyev Dvar Mishnah, and the cow would have become kosher, v'loy klum avdas, so it would come out that you didn't actually do any nezek, hashtanami lav klum avdas. And now also you should realize that you haven't necessarily done anything that should make you liable to pay. Because we're going to assume, when we say hechila Reb Tarfon l'klovim, doesn't necessarily mean that Reb Tarfon literally picked up the animal and killed it and gave it to the dogs to eat. But pashtus, it means that Reb Tarfon told the guy, your cow is treif, and therefore he went and decided, in that case, I may as well give it to the dogs. So therefore, so Reb Tarfon, in other words, did not directly do something to this cow. So at most it would be a grumma. So in other words, the point of the question is the point of the question is that because you're saying Talbot Va Mishnah Choizer, then why does Rabbi Akiva have to even bring up the point of Mumcha LeBeis Din? He should just bring up the point that, listen, you know, your Psak Din is not a valid one, it turns out, anyway, because Talbot Va Mishnah Choizer, and you made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah. At this point, then it's considered as though there was no Psak Din at all, and when the guy went and gave it to the dogs, then that's his problem and not yours. Doesn't that prove, therefore, that it really was a Psak Din, even though it was Talbid Van Mishnah, and therefore Rabbi Akiva has to tell Rabbi Tarfon, it's true, it was a Psak Din. Normally you would have to pay. However, since you're a Mumchal Rabim, then you don't have to. So that's the point of the question. So the Ramban further on points out that, okay, you know, the Gemara could have answered that Reb Tarfon actually gave it to the dogs, but first of all, come on, how likely is it that Reb Tarfon would do that? And anyway, Reb Sheshes, the Ramban adds, Reb Sheshes would rather explain that all these various Mishnayos are talking about not over Nos and Beyad. The Gemara is going to draw a distinction soon, whether the Dayan actually picked up the thing and gave it Beyad to the other one, or in this case, picked up the animal and gave it to the dogs versus not. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but we're going to say that Rav Sheshes wants to make that distinction, and therefore it's less likely to assume that Rav Tarfon did that over here. Okay, so now we come to the next answer of Chista Omar. Rav Chista is going to give another answer that Rav Chista is going to give another answer in order to forenfer that the in order to forenfer those last questions, that yes, we are still going to say there's a difference between Talbid Rav Mishnah and Shikol Adas, but even within that itself, can should not of nothing but yad, can shall not of nothing but yad. There can be a distinction whether the dayan actually took the money or the object or whatever and gave it to the other one, but yad, then we would say that the din is not undone. We still keep the psak din. However, if it turns out that it was a mistake, then the dayan is paying. As opposed to our Mishnah is talking about where he didn't actually take it biyad. He told the person, you have to go and pay the money, and he did. But then we would say that it's choizer. Then we would tell him, let's start all over again. Let's take the money back from the person you gave it to, and we're gonna start the din Torah all over again. Rishonim discussed different reasons for that distinction Rav Chista is making, but that's Rav Chista is making that distinction. The Gemara asks, Bishleim Achiv, then let's go through the cases in the Mishnah and Bechoris. Bishleim Achiv as Hazakai, when we say that the one who was supposed to be innocent of paying ends up being declared mistakenly guilty, and we're saying Masha also would be not of a Nosan Beyad, exactly that. But the Dayan said, Ruven, he or Shimon has taken you to Beis Din claiming you owe him money. You, in fact, do owe him that money. I'm going to take that money out of your hand, Ruven, and give it to Shimon. And later on, it turns out he made a mistake. So then we can say Masha also Asui. But Ella Zika Sachayev, Hecha Mashkachasla. What do you mean Zika Sachayev? Then there was nothing being taken away. Then it means he's saying passively, look, Reuven, you're in possession of that 100, which Shimon is claiming that you owe him. You're in fact potter from paying. If later on it turns out he made a mistake, then according to Rav Chista, where's the not of a Nosam Miyad? And the answer on the face, the omele potter ata, what are you talking about? The dayan says to the defendant, you're potter, v'holoi not over nothing but yad. The fact is he didn't take anything with his hand and give it to the other one. So how can we understand that according to Rav Chista's distinction? And the answer is kiven to omele potter ata, because once he says you're potter, then that means he's keeping the money in his hands. Commotion not over nothing but yad dummy. That can be considered the equivalent of taking it via dayim and giving it to the other one. Because listen, your psak din makes it that's how it is, that Reuven is now entitled to that 100. You don't need to do another maisa. So yes, Rav Chista would say that when there's a maisa that needs to be done, the dayan actually has to do it via dayim. But when there's no maisa that has to be done, namely in a case like this, then that would be considered as though the dayan accomplished everything with his words. The Gemara says, well, Elamas Nissen, then let's go back to our Mishnah. Dekatoni Dinim Mominus Machzun bin Lashus bin Lachoiva, where we said that by Dinim Mominus, we can retract the verdict, whether it was Lashus or whether it was Lachoiva. And Rav Chista is saying, our Mishnah is talking about we're not of a Nosim Bayad, as opposed to he says the Mishnah in Bechoris is talking about where he did. Bishlema Lashus, well, then we can Mashkachasla, well, then we can easily find a case of Lashus, the Dayan mistakenly said that Reuven is potter from having to pay, and now it turns out that Reuven should have had to pay. So Mashkachasla de Omele Meikra Chayavata. So to begin with, he said mistakenly to Reuven, you Chayav, V'loin Noto V'loin Nosan Bayad. He didn't actually take the money with his hands from Reuven, and now we said that he realized it's a mistake, and Reuven should have been potter after all. Ela L'choiva Heich Mashkachasla. How would you have L'choiva without actually taking away from him? The omele potter ata, evidently it would have to be that to begin with he said he's potter, and you're saying that once he says he's potter, then it's considered that not of a nosan biyad. But you just said kiven to omele potter ata commission not of a nosan biyad dummy. Then it's considered as though taking it away from him. And you're telling me, Rav Chista, that the Mishnah in Bechoris is telling us that once you said you're potter, that's considered not of a nosan biyad. So in that case, how would you have a case in our Mishnah where he says potter and it's not considered not of a nosan biyad? Because according to Rav Chista, once you say potter, it's always considered not of a nosan biyad. So how would you understand our Mishnah? So the answer is chodakatoni. The answer is our Mishnah is not mentioning two cases. You're thinking that our Mishnah is talking about two cases. One where he said, Reuven, you're potter, and the other one where he said, Reuven, you're chayev. No, what we mean is it's one case. And the Mishnah says, when the Mishnah says, Dinim Mamanas, Machzirin L'schus, Shehi Choyva.
meaning in other words that we retract the case in our Mishnah when not nos, when there was not not over nos in the yad, when it's the schus, even though it comes out a choiva for the other one. So namely, in other words, we're not talking on the Mishnah where he just said Reuven you're potter. Our Mishnah is talking about only one case. He said to Reuven, you're chayev. I'm taking that money from you because you're chayev and giving it to, or actually we're saying our Mishnah is talking about not over nos in the yad. We're saying that our Mishnah is talking about, he says to Reuven, you chayev, pay Shimon the money, but he doesn't actually take the money from Reuven to give to Shimon. Now, later on, when he realizes he made a mistake, then what we're going to do is we're going to rejudge the case, and he's going to tell Shimon, give that money back to Reuven. So that's what we mean. We bring it back as a schus for Reuven, even though it winds up being a chayv for Shimon, because he thought he gets to keep that $100 that Reuven gave him, and it turns out that he does not.
That was the person holding the money. You know.
Yeah, that's in other words. So that, but that's the distinction. As opposed to Rav Chista is saying in Bechoros, we're talking about where he actually physically took the money from Reuven and gave it to Shimon. So in that case, we would say that the din remains a din. We don't undo it later on when he realized he made a mistake. However, then he has to be shalom mibase, so he still has to reimburse out of pocket unless he was a mumcha l'rabin. Okay. The Gemara says the Chavasad de Gabi Nefoshes. Well, then the Mishnah had drawn a distinction between Dinei Mamonos and a parallel distinction between Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefoshes. When the Mishnah had said by Dinei Nefoshes Machzirin L'Schus Ve'in Machzirin L'Choiva, the Mishnah had said we undo the din in order to exonerate the guy, but not to penalize him, not to punish him. Where we said to begin with that he would have been innocent. Machzirin L'Schus Schus Gredesa. Obviously, there Schus means pure Schus because there's no we're not being Machayev anybody else as a result of being Mazaka this one.
Ve'in Machzirin means how better,
right? Gredesa means by itself. Meaning, in other words, it's a schus for him. It's not a choiva for somebody else. For example, let's say it was Machal Shabbos. So we're saying he was Mizana with an Eishes Ish. So if we say that we found the schus, then it would mean, so in other words, the question is like this. You're telling me that in our Mishnah, when it says schus and choiva, can mean a schus for one, which turns out to be a choiva for the other. But when it comes to Dinin Afoshes, how do we have that? Machzirin l'schus, on the face of it, has to be schus gredesa. Means a pure schus. There's no choiva involved. Ve'en machzirin l'choiva, and when the Mishnah says you don't undo the din in order for choiva, that would be the schus shi choiva. By your understanding, it would have to be a schus for him, which winds up being a choiva for somebody else. Choiva say demand. Who's the choiva over here? If we patter the guy from, if we say that we don't have enough evidence to be machal that he was machal Shabbos or being mezana with an eishes ish or whatever, who's losing out from it?
Unless he's doing the two lives together, Karis and the second one.
No, because Karis is not in the purview we're based in. No. Oh. So the answer is holei kasha choiv said goyel adam. The answer is that's not a question because we can say we're talking about where it says it's a question of murder. The choiv would be for the goyel adam. The goyel adam is now like this. Until now, he figures good. This guy who killed my relative is going to be brought to justice. He's going to be executed. Now we find the technicality to pater the guy. Now the goyel adam feels bad about it. Look at this. The guy killed my relative, and he's getting away with it. So what? So what's the logic? Because the goyel adam doesn't like it, therefore we should execute the guy without enough evidence. Va'oid my bain. And also, what does the mission mean? Bain l'schus, bain l'choiva, which implies that there were separate cases of schus and choiva, whereas according to Rav Chista, we're having to understand that it means a schus which is a choiva which is a schus. So the Gemara says, Kasha. You're right, there's a Kasha. It's a Kasha on Rav Chista. As usual, Kasha is not tufta. It doesn't mean we've slugged him up. It just means that it would be a little harder to make the missioner work with the, according to his lashon. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, here's a way that we can infer what Rav Chista is saying, because we can say, what do you mean that we're saying that the question was before, at least as far as the Dinim Mamonos part, we said Zika as a Chayev, we said where he declared mistakenly that he doesn't have to pay somebody who does have to pay. He said to Reuven, Shimon is claiming for you $100, you're potter, you don't have to pay him, and we're asking, well, where's the not of a Nos and Bayad would be, and we had to say, we had to be Doichik, and we had to say the very fact that the Dayan says potter Ata amounts to not of a Nos and Bayad, now Ravina is giving a different answer. Suppose that Shimon had a mashkin and the Dayan took it away from him. So in other words, Shimon takes Reuven to Beis Din saying, you owe me money. And I have a mashkin for the debt. The Dayan hears the case and he decides, Reuven, you're potter from paying. Shimon, take out that mashkin. I'm taking it from you and giving it back to Reuven because there's no debt. Therefore, you have to return him his mashkin. Now, later on, it turns out he was mistaken. Fine. As far as the money, as far as the money for the actual loan itself, it wasn't being not of a nasim yad, but the mashkin there was. Therefore, we can say that the Mishnah in Bechoros is talking about when he did that. We're there. We would say we don't undo the din Torah. However, the dayan has to reimburse Shimon for that mashkin that he unjustly took away from him. Whereas our Mishnah would be talking about there was no not of a nasim yad. He just said, Reuven, you're part of paying, and that's that. Case dismissed. Then continues Ravina. Timei es ha-tohar. What about when he declares, when he mistakenly declares?
The mashkin doesn't prove that he was right.
Not necessarily. No. And besides, it could be maybe he was right, but we don't have enough evidence to say. We don't have the shtar. The shtar turns out to be not valid, or turns out to be whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about Timei es ha-tohar? The Mishnah had mentioned in Bechoros a case where he declared something tohar. He mistakenly declared it tamei, and you were asking how is there not of a nasim liyad over there? You can say da'agibei sheretz. What the dayan did is, having declared these peiros tamei, he says, you know what? Even if you think before it wasn't tamei, I'm going to make them tamei now. And he takes a dead sheretz and puts it on top of them. So therefore, he's actually not of a nasim liyad. Before it was just a verbal verdict. These peiros are tamei. But now he's saying, you know what? I don't want you to think that maybe you're going to go out of the Beis Din Shtibl and think that maybe I was wrong and they are actually Tohar. If they weren't Tohar before, they are now. So that's not of a Nasa Miyad. And that's when we say that he would have to reimburse the guy. And similarly, Tiras HaTomei, when he declared something Tomei, mistakenly Tohar, would be She'ervan Ben Perosev, would be the Dayan, and then went and mixed those Peris with other Peris. So now, So now he directly caused the other payers to be Tomei. So that's when we would say that now he has to, now that's when we would say that he has to reimburse him for it. Okay. So in other words, we can, after all, say, like Rav Chista says, that we're talking about there are cases where not of a nasim b'yad in all of those things. And meanwhile, our Mishnah could be talking about where there wasn't not of a nasim b'yad, and we would say that, therefore, sometimes we undo the din and we start all over again. So the maskana you have like this. So first of all, you have the distinction of mumcha and enim mumcha. First of all, the Gemara had drawn a distinction before when, even within a mumcha himself, whether there's someone greater b'chochma over minyan, where we said if there's someone greater b'chochma over minyan, he has the ability to override him, and the Baal Din will have no choice to listen to him knowing that he's greater. So in that case, we would say we undo the Din Torah and we start all over again.
That's when the Gemara
brought an Anomad Aleph about that point. On the other hand, if he's not a mumcha, or if there's no greater mumcha, then we would say that the first answer was in the Gemara that we would say that so then it depends. If he's a mumcha, then he doesn't have to reimburse. If he's non-mumcha, then he does have to reimburse. Another distinction was, we said, what the mistake was, Tabid Vamishna or Shikol Adas. Tabid Vamishna, we said, if he's a mumcha, then choizer. If it was Shikol Adas, he's not choizer. Either way, as a mumcha, he's potter from paying, which is what Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Taifin. If he's not a mumcha, then either way, he's going to have to pay. If it was Tabid Vamishna, we're going to say choizer. We start all over again, and he doesn't pay. But if it was Shikol Adas, we don't undo it, but he does have to pay. Then you also have further distinction of not of a nasim b'yad, of nasim and nasim b'yad that Rav Chista had made, whether we say that if he wasn't not of a nasim b'yad, then we make him undo the din Torah. And then there's no paying. Otherwise, we would say, depending whether if not of a nasim b'yad, he would undo the din Torah, that he wouldn't pay. But if not of a nasim b'yad, he's not going to undo it. However, he's going to have to pay. Tosfos also brings up the point, by the way, that even if he's metame fruit, on the face of it, it's a hezek shein and nicker. So he's not necessarily chayev to pay for such a thing anyway. So Tosfos says that, listen, you know, the reason why, the Gemara explains why a person should be potter in such a case, you want to give him an incentive to inform the other guy so he doesn't mistakenly eat peiros that are tomei. Here, we don't need to give the dayan that incentive. He knows to tell the person this is tomei, and okay, fine. The Gemara says dinin nefashis chula. Now, when it comes to dinin nefashis, we said that if we declared the guy innocent, then we don't undo it and bring him back to Beis Din to say that he's guilty, even though it turns out we made a mistake. Even if it was dry mishnah, even all of that, nevertheless, we still, once we declared him innocent, then that's that. We don't bring him back. On the other hand, if we mistakenly declared him guilty, then we bring him back to Beis Din to rejudge the case and declare him innocent.
So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, minayin l'yotzei mebeis din chayev. How indeed do we know that point, that if somebody goes out of beis din having been declared guilty, v'omer echad yesh li lamed olav schus, and someone says, and as we talked about in the Mishnah, that someone can even be one of the Talmidim, it can even be the Baal Din himself, says, I have an argument in his favor, which again, the argument in his favor could be any number of things. It could be that I have reason to show that the Hasra wasn't valid. It could be I have reason to show the Edom Apostle, etc., etc. Say, how do we know that we bring him back and rejudge the case? Now you have like this. You have a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim that says, "V'noki v'tzadik al taharoi." Don't kill the noki or the tzadik. Noki means a person who is clean. Tzadik means a tzadik. So what does that mean? Especially, why would we have to be told not to kill a tzaddik? So the Gemara is going to break that pasuk down into two parts. Noki al-tareg and tzaddik al-tareg. So noki al-tamudem and noki al-tareg. The pasuk says, don't kill the noki, the one who's clean of the offense that they're accusing, that they're charging him with. So in other words, he really is noki, because there's somebody, now we have evidence to say that he is noki. So even though Beis Din already declared him to be guilty, in truth he is a Naki, and therefore Beis Din has to bring him back and rejudge him and find that he's innocent. How do we know the other way around? If he went out of Beis Din having been declared innocent, and somebody says, I have a proof that he's guilty. So how do we know we don't bring him back? That's where the pasuk says tzaddik al tarig. The tzaddik is not necessarily knocking. Now you know the Alter Rebbe talks about on the first page of Tanya. This is on the second omen of Tanya in Perek Aleph, that the word tzaddik doesn't always mean what we think of in Tanya as a tzaddik. Yeah. It means a shema musha, whatever that you have. Tzaddik can mean somebody tzaddik bedino. He was declared righteous in his judgment. So he may be a total Rosha, but once he was declared a tzaddik, then already we don't bring him back, al tarig. So he was declared innocent. He really is guilty. He's not a noki, he is in fact guilty. But because he's a tzaddik bedinoi, then the pasuk is saying don't bring him back.
Can you find a new case against them?
No, so we can't. No, so that's the thing. If a different time he kills somebody who's Machal Shabbos or whatever, then of course they can do a new case against him. But to rejudge this case, if new Edim come, maybe that's different. But we're talking about, let's say there were other arguments to exonerate him, then yeah. Okay. Omer of Shimi Ba'ashi, the Chiluf of the Mesis. Now, if Shimi Ba'ashi points out, it would be the opposite when it comes to a Mesis. If we declared a Mesis guilty, then later on someone comes and says, you know, I have evidence in his favor, we don't really want to listen to him because the person was judged as a Mesis, and that's a pretty serious thing, so therefore we want to let the judgment stand as is.
What's a Mesis?
A Mesis is someone who tries to convince somebody else to worship Avodah Zarah. So a Mesis, if he was declared guilty and somebody says, Yesh lo lamed olav schus, then we don't bring him back. And if it's the other way around, if we declare him innocent and someone says, I have choiva in his favor, then we do bring him back. Because the pasuk says, "Le'sachmo v'le'sachasa olav," do not have mercy and do not cover up for him. So, in other words, we have to judge and find if Itaka is guilty, then Itaka have to make it happen. Yeah. Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana learns another pasuk from which we learn this concept. The pasuk is about the Mesis, ki horeg tahargenu, because you should kill him. Meaning, in other words, that no matter what, we have to make it. It's a ribui, basically, that the fact that it says kihorig taugenu, that you have to make it possible. Now, obviously, we still have to cross examine the Edom. We still have to do all of that. But if it's just going to be a technicality, then we don't want to let him go on technicalities. The Gemara continues. Bominate of Rav Zeira Rav Sheshes Chayve Golus Minayin.
Rav Kahana Masni.
I said Rav Kahana Mikoh Mikihorig Targenu, because the pasuk is Kihorig Targenu by Mesis. It says kill. You should kill him. So therefore, you also learn from that this concept. Yeah. So Bominate of Zeira Rav Sheshes Chayve Golus Minayin. How do we know the same rule applies to people who are going to be Chayve Golus to the Ir Miklat? How do we know the same kind of thing, that once they're declared innocent, we don't bring them back to declare them guilty, but if we declare them guilty, then we can bring them back to declare them innocent? The word Minayin over here, by the way, it says on the side, should really be Mai. What would be the din by them? Not Minayin, as if we know the din and we just have to know what the Pasuk is to tell us, but rather Mai, what would be the din? Do we in fact apply the same concept by them? And Rav Kahana answers, Asya Ritzeach Ritzeach. Yes, because we make a Gzeda Shava on the word Ritzeach, which it says by somebody who's Chayiv Misa, and the word Ritzeach, where it talks about somebody who runs away to the Aron Mikla. So yes, the same rule applies, the same way as a person is accused of Ritzicha B'mezid. And we're saying if he was sent out of Beis Din, having been declared guilty, and then we find reasons, to technicalities, to declare him innocent, we're going to bring him back, but not the other way around. So it is also by someone who's Chayiv Golos. What about Chayiv Malkius Minayin? What about somebody who's Chayiv Malkius or Mai? And the answer is Asya Rosha Rosha. There we have a Gzeira Shava on the word Rosh. The person who's Chayiv, it was Chayiv Misa, it says by him the word Rosha. By someone who's Chayiv Malkius, it also says Rosha. So therefore, we learn the same concept. Tosfos points out anyway, we have other Gemaras that say that Malkus became Misa Emedes, that Malkus is in effect a substitute for Misa, so you don't really need a Gzeda Shava. Instead, you could learn it that way. And Tosfos discusses that point a little bit. Anyway, so the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochi. In fact, we learn a Braisa, like Rav Shesha says, Chayve Golias Asir Etzeach Etzeach, Chayve Malkus Asir Rosha Rosha. So therefore, yes, this rule that we're saying somebody was sent out of Beis Din, having been mistakenly declared guilty, we're going to bring him back and rejudge him, applies to all Chayve Misa, except for Mesis, we said, as well as Chayve Golias, as well as Chayve Malkus. All of them will redo the case in order to declare them innocent if we mistakenly declared them guilty, but not the other way around. Now, what about, we said, Ve'en Machzirin L'Choiva, we said we don't bring the person back to judge him guilty. However, that would only be if the mistake that the Beis Din made was not something that the Tzedukim admit to. Now, we know that the Tzedukim believe only in Teresh B'Chsav. So if we have the mistake was that they forgot something or overlooked something that says explicitly in Teresh B'Chsav, then if their mistake was in something of Teresh Baal Peh, in other words, then we're going to say that, yeah, we don't undo it L'Choiva. If it's something so blatant in the pasuk that even the tzedukim would agree, then we say then we can return him and rejudge him because that's a complete mistake. Zil kori beiravu, that's something you can go and learn in cheder. Meaning, in other words, that's something that you can't consider. You can't say that it was a valid psak din and we can apply therefore in the pasuk came tzadik. That's considered that's a meaningless psak din. Yeah. So what about Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba asked Rabbi Yechanan, what about, for example, if the Dayan made a mistake as far as a Noya for Ne'efes? Would we say that after all, everything about Noya for Ne'efes, everything about Eishes Ish, in other words, Rashi explains the question is with it. It's Seach, there's lots of things that it doesn't say explicitly in the Pasuk. For example, you have, let's say, there's an argument whether the stone that he killed him with is actually large enough to kill. We're going to learn later in the Masechta. Based on it's supposed to take the stone and evaluate how big it is and how far it was thrown from, etc. So let's say you can have an argument on the Metzius of that. But let's say, for example, with Noyef and Neyefes, so it seems pretty clear. There doesn't seem to be much wiggle room for what it says in the Pasuk. So what about if it was that case? Omalei, so Rabbi Yechanan answers him with a phrase, Adam Motach Yokid, while your fire is burning, Zil Koitz Korach Vitzali, then go cut up your pumpkins and roast them. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, you're learning the sugya. So pay attention and learn and understand more on your own. You heard me say that when it's Dovashat Tzedukin Moedim Boy, then you undo it. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about something like Ritzeach, where some of the dinim are in Teresh B'Chsav and some are not, or whether you're talking about Noya for Ne'efes, where everything is in Teresh B'Chsav. The fact is, it says it in Teresh B'Chsav, and it's Dovashat Tzedukin Moedim Boy, and yes, if they made a mistake in any detail of that, then yes, we're going to say that we bring him back even L'Choiva. That's how Rashi understands the question and the answer. The Yad Rama explains a little differently. He says the question was basically, what if we're talking about a Noya for Ne'efes? We're talking about where it was a Bia Shaloi Kedarka. The question is that something that the Tzedukim would consider, that the Tzedukim would agree, is considered something that would the Tzedukim agree to that, to the extent where we would say that a mistake like that is considered Dovashat Tzedukim Moedim Boy? And Rabbi Yechanan is telling him, that if you don't know how to prepare pumpkins, if you don't know how to roast them, watch somebody else doing it and then learn from him how to do it. So in other words, the same way over here, yes, realize that this is something that Dover Shatz Dukim Modimoy realized, to learn one thing from another and realize that yes, this is Dover Shatz Dukim Modimoy. Ben Yehoyada also adds to that on top of the Yad Ramah. He says that's why he's using this metaphor, using Korach, which means pumpkins, because the word Korah is also similar to the word Kra as an apostle. You see, it says clearly in the pasuk, and even the tzedukim agreed to that, so therefore realize that's how it is, yeah.
Itmar, Nami, in fact, they said also, Amrab Ami, Amrab Yechanan, Tob Noyef Choyzer, that yes, if the basin makes a mistake, as far as a Noyef and Neyefes, then they would undo the Psak Din because it's Dover Shatz Dukim Moidim Boy. So the Gemara says, Ela Hechi Domi Ein Choyzerin. Well, then what's the case where we wouldn't undo it? Exactly that. Let's say, for example, the mistake was shaloi kadavka. It doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk. We learn that from the words mishkevei isha. So that's not necessarily something that the tzedukim would agree to. So therefore, if they made a mistake, if they said that he's innocent because it was shaloi kadavka, we're going to say we wouldn't necessarily undo that because the fact is that's not something that the tzedukim disagree that the tzedukim agree to. So that's a coin to Rashi. Tosfos points out that the Tosfos actually has a whole different understanding of this Gemara than Rashi. I mean, the Gemara could have mentioned any number of things. Why did it have to mention Davka Noyef and Neyefes? So Tosfos discusses that the question is there in fact anything in Noyef and Neyefes that Dovashain at Sdukin Modin Boy? So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that yes, I'm sure you can figure something out. Now, when we're saying Tosh, when we're saying Shaloi Kadaka, Tosfos points out, in fact, the Tzedukim do agree with it. However, Tosfos says, the Yad Ramah also writes similarly, we're not just talking about Shaloi Kadaka, but it was also Hara. It wasn't full penetration, but only the initial contact. The Tzedukim don't agree that when that's done Shaloi Kadaka, it would be considered. So the answer is that would be a case with Dover Shein at Tzedukim Modimbay. So in other words, in short, the case in Beis Din was brought. You have a Noyef and Neyefes. If the Edim are saying that there was Gemar Bia, then it wouldn't matter. According to Tosfos, it wouldn't matter whether it was Kadauka or Shaloi Kadauka. Either way, if Beis Din mistakenly says, well, that doesn't matter, he's Potter, and then later on they can undo it and say, you know what, that's Dover Shatz Dukim Moedim Bay. But if it was Hara and it was Shaloi Kadauka, and Beis Din mistakenly said that's fine, he's Potter, later on we wouldn't bring him back and rejudge him because that's already Dover Shatz. That's looking mighty right. We'll continue tomorrow. Best of Hashem.